Right, let's go to Febsy, shall we? Because Febsy's a great guest, and every time he comes on, people say, why don't you have him on longer? And why don't you shut up and let him talk? The world is getting more digital every day, isn't it? And there have been lots of talk about tech recently, from bots writing essays and actually love poems about me. There's a lot to catch up on. Febsy, editor of GadgetDetective.com and host of Gadget Detective Podcast. Unless I say that three times, he says he's not coming on the show. He's on the line. Now, how are you, Febsy?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I hate it. The voice is too deep. Febsy, please forgive me. So, Febsy, yesterday, day before, I forget where Valentine is. It plays a very tiny part in my life, in my marriage. But they used a bot here. I don't know what it is. Let me just play what this artificial intelligence came up with about me.
A Valentine's poem for Eddie Nesta. A voice that's bold, a wit that's sharp, a London radio host who likes to harp on topics that are risk and daring, naughty and challenging, always sharing. With words that tease and tantalise, this host knows how to hypnotise the listeners who tune in every day to hear what this rebel has to say. From politics to pop culture, no topics off limits, no barrier secure. This host takes risks and breaks the mould with a style that's unapologetically bold. So raise your voice and make some noise for this radio host who brings the joys of laughter, thought and pure play to London's airwaves every day.
So that's the fun part of it. But it also got a 2-2 in a dissertation in one for somebody's final exam, didn't it?
Yeah. So that sounded to me like it might have been ChatGPT. I'm not sure there are,
there are others
that do that.
Yes. How do you know that then?
I got to recognise its style. It sounds like it's writing greetings cards to me, but, it has a certain style. You know, it uses a certain vernacular, so you can sometimes spot its style. And, in fact, that's what college lecturers are needing to do now. They're needing to spot when something is not just plagiarised, but wholly written by ChatGPT. And interestingly enough, people are trying to use ChatGPT to spot essays written by ChatGPT. So
I gave an example of this yesterday where my phone is, my robot phone is asking me to confirm that I am indeed not a robot. I told you, every time you come on, I keep telling you about the singularity and you keep pushing back. Yeah. It's coming, Febsy. Well, coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting because there'll come a point in the not too distant future that asking if someone's a robot or not and then discriminating if they are is going to be illegal or at least socially unacceptable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you describe the robot as an it? In terms of technology, though, excuse me, where are we with the regulation of the charger? I know I keep going back to that, but it's such a big thing for my listener.
The regulation of the...
Your charger, the charging point. So the charge in your phone, where's the charge port?
Oh, okay. So where we are is that the European Union has said that certain classes of devices, including mobile phones and tablets, but not only those devices, must have USB charging capability. That's not to say that they can't have other ways of charging them, such as wireless, but that they must have a USB-C charging capability. And, you know, that's coming, and it's believed that at Apple's new iPhone, which will be launched in September, the iPhone 15, that they will probably have that facility because they're not ready to go wholly wireless. Apple are furious that they're being forced to do this, it seems, although it, at least at the moment, it's a good thing for the consumer. Whether it remains a good thing is another question.
Well, aren't they having challenges in, as I understand it, you're the expert, obviously, they're trying to move their operations from China to India. Mm-hmm. Aren't they having huge problems there?
Yeah, the failure rate of some of the products being produced in India is actually very high at the moment. I mean, there are new facilities there. They're obviously trying to diversify away from China, which is, you know, given the political environment, the direction of movement is probably wise. But, you know, it's even for Apple, it's not easy just to set up a factory and everything work well. The failure rates are high.
Is that what we call snagging?
It's just going to need to bed in, and you know it will work. They can do it anywhere. You know, they'll be able to do it in Brazil or wherever they want. They can set up a factory, and that's one of the powers of these sort of global companies, is that and makes them so hard to regulate, because they can literally take their business elsewhere. It's not always easy, but it's a wise thing to do, and particularly just leaving the politics apart, just because of supply chain issues, they should have the ability to source in more than one country the same components. Yeah. Because then when China has, zero tolerance COVID policy, for example, as it did for a long time, that really affected their output.
Just while you've mentioned political stuff and China, am I right in that the technology that we were going to use to use a surveillance on people as they go about their business, we've detected that Made in China was using a surveillance on everybody?
Well, this is always a worry, and you'll remember the big deal with Huawei and the fact that we were going to build our whole 5G network around their kit, and there aren't that many manufacturers that actually are capable of doing, you know, some of that 5G equipment. And Britain initially said it was going to carry on because it didn't see that it had a commercially viable alternative, and America put pressure on, and eventually Britain changed its mind. But that set our 5G rollout back about a year, 18 months at least.
Yeah,
and it's going to cost more, and it's going to be less good.
Prevaricating is not good when it comes to technology, is it? Because it moves very quickly.
What we've done in the West, and I include America when I say this, is we have allowed ourselves to fall behind in certain key technologies. We just have not developed the capability to commercially roll out these products, and we're reliant upon now China, which is a trading partner, but one that politically, we're heading for a collision with, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming. I know we've spent the first part of our interview doing humanities. People never get enough of you, and I know I've got 2 minutes left. So let me ask you the question. It's school holidays, right? Is it worth our children, if they want to, or encourage them to do something like coding?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was a boy, as opposed to a girl, when I was a boy, my first computer was actually a BBC Micro, 1981, just before, you know, I went off to university, and it changed my life, because it wasn't, oh, here's a computer that's faster than before. This was something completely new, and I learned how to program it. And you know, I did that as a profession. I became a programmer and an analyst, and on large mainframe systems, as it was, you know, at the time. So yes, anything from, you know, buying your kid a Raspberry Pi and letting them build robots to attending the coding camps. Apple.
Did you do the Mikado and the all of those, the Lego? Did you do that? Because one of the boys does Lego. I just said, how do you do? And it's the only time he stays quiet for hours. It's the only thing that makes him, that holds him like that. Are those the sorts of things? Sorry, I know you got to go. But are those the sorts of things that lead you on the way? Because if I don't do that, Fevzi is on that PlayStation 4, and it's driving me mad. Okay.
No, it's much better, because that's what's happened. We've gone from, you know, knowing how to use and program our computers to just using them as games consoles and social media windows, and that's not so good. What you need is, I'm serious, buy a Raspberry Pi if you can get your hands on one for your kids or similar, because then they can learn to program them, they can build them onto robots, they can run off battery power. You can do quite amazing things. There's also coding camps, also Apple stores. They do regular training on everything from coding to using bits of software to taking better photos, all sorts of things. And you're meant to book on them, and you can book on them. I think it's apple.com/UK.
Yeah, but I don't know why I haven't done it, but I've for also adults and young
in.
People.
Yeah, yeah, no, and even me. I, you know, and even without booking, sometimes you can just walk in, sit and listen to someone educating you about something that you didn't know about. It's fantastic. So there's lots of stuff out there. There's coding camps. There's coding camps for girls as well. So if girls feel intimidated by, you know, trying to learn coding amongst boys, which, you know, if it's true, is sad. But there are coding camps for girls as well. You can just Google it. There's quite a lot of them around.
Listen, once a month, never have enough time. You're brilliant. Come on, name check your stuff quickly. Go on.
GadgetDetective.com is where you can find the Gadget Detective podcast. Please subscribe to that. If you want to come and say hello, ask a tech question, Twitter at Gadget Detective.
I'm Googling Raspberry Pi. Thank you very much. This is BBC Radio London, and that was Fevzi. You're right to be jealous about Fevzi. He has an absolutely gorgeous voice, unlike yours. Pauline, I'm leaving now because I'm hurt. Thank you to the team.